Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. And Patrick Mahomes has done it. Andy Reid. You heard Andy Reid give Eric Bieniemy his props. Travis Kelce. I mean, are we looking at the greatest quarterback tight end combination ever? What about, is he going to wind up being the greatest quarterback? Is that already the greatest tight end ever? Like, what about the Eagles? What if you're an Eagles fan right now, you feel like you've been cheated out of the Super Bowl? There's too bad there's not a lot to talk about this morning, guys.
Morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
You guys look refreshed. You must have went to bed really early.
I saw the Riri. I saw the Riri halftime the whole time. I'm thinking about tweeting. I feel like she's pregnant. I'm not sure. I'm not going to tweet it. Nope. Not going to be the one. Not going to catch me. And it was confirmed.
Because there wasn't a lot of movement.
Not going to be that guy.
Yeah. Boy, she's got a lot of hits, doesn't she? When she starts going through the catalog, that's a winner.
It's
one of the dopest halftime performances I've ever seen.
Yeah, no, it was good. It was a good halftime performance, you know.
All right.
Yeah. It was not bad. I couldn't.
You weren't on it?
No, I was watching it, but I you know, you're trying to watch it and people talking and it's like a whole thing.
Because you got a party. That's why you got to watch it from the couch at the crib.
No, it's all good. It's all good. We had a good time. So, you know, watched the game, had a good time, got a chance to see the Eagles almost win and the Chiefs pull off a miracle, so to speak, comeback. A lot of smart things happened in that football game, including the slide down right before the field goal. You know, that was impressive. The mindset to know, okay, let me not try to be a hero, because they actually tried to let him score. But he was like, nah, we're not getting ready to do this.
I wonder how much higher the win percentage in that situation is if you don't score, if you do. Because if you punch it in and you wind up up 7, then they got to score a touchdown. And to win, they got to go for the extra point. And if not, or the two-point conversion. And even to tie, like, the odds are not – I wonder if the odds are over 50-50 that they drive down the field.
We're not even doing that.
Remember, Nick Chubb scored a touchdown and came back and won? Yeah.
Yeah, no,
we don't even need that.
What I'm saying is a lot of the stuff that people complain about, you don't know the outcome. Well, it's a heads-up play, I guess. I guess it is.
Super.
I know it's what you're supposed to do. I just wonder how much higher your chances of winning are in that moment by doing that.
We can play that game in a regular season, not in a Super Bowl.
Yeah, right. Yeah, but you still – well, that's right. With 8 seconds left, the odds are extremely low. You're going to score. How did a hobbled Patrick Mahomes lead the Chiefs to a comeback win? Here is Patrick Mahomes at the post-game presser.
I felt really good until I kind of aggravated it a little bit, but it was, I mean, you're in the Super Bowl. You can worry about getting it healthy in the off season. So I just kind of fought through, and we were able to win the game.
The thing about this dude is he has the intangible. I never got the sense like he's trying to show me how much it hurts, to tell you the truth. I got the sense like he was trying to play through, you know, an injury. That's all. Key, how did you feel about it?
Well, I mean, once, you know, he got that was a nasty, nasty twist and grab. And, you know, that thing got caught underneath. You certainly was going to, like I said before, whenever you get that jolt, it's going to feel a certain way. Remember 2-3 weeks ago when he played, it was like, as long as nobody doesn't hit it or grab it, and that he'll be fine as soon as somebody does that, because it's still sore. It's still bruised. And so it's just a little bit of, you know, just a little bit of and then it calms down. And Jay knows this, when you have an injury and somebody hits directly on an injury, you're going to feel that sharp pain. But once it calms down, you'll be fine.
See, I truly believe that 30-minute halftime had to help him in a massive way, right? Regardless of whatever happened back there, he get a little shot, take away the pain. But for him to come out and play after 30 minutes of all the performances of Rihanna and all that, it just – I mean, look. People can sit there and talk about James Bradbury in the PI call all day long. But realistically, if you're an Eagles fan, right, Jalen Hurts fumbled the ball in the first half, led to a score, right? You talk about special teams, the blunder for Kadarius Toney at the end of the game. Like, that was really hurtful. And then your defense allowed a touchdown on every possession in the second half. Like, where that defense against a hobbled Patrick Mahomes, like, those are three things that you sit back and you say, if this is a game of inches, if we're better at those three things, we probably win the game.
Patrick Mahomes played extremely well in the second half, though. You know, like, you got to – he beat the defense. Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, Eric Bieniemy, Travis Kelce, Kadarius Toney on that on the return. Like, they beat the Eagles defense.
Max Kellerman, you're hard-headed.
Because?
I want you to listen. When you're 21 or 27, barely 200 yards – no turnovers and three touchdowns, you're probably win the game.
You're probably
right?
going to win the game. You know what the difference in the game was? Key is 100% right. The difference in the game is turnovers. That's what it comes down to, right? It's the turnovers. One team protected the ball a little better than the other team, and the calls, they seemed to go – it was a ticky – you refer to the Bradbury call at the end of the game. It was a ticky-tack fall call.
No, it was ticky-tack.
It was ticky-tack. And by the way, but even if he – that doesn't necessarily – it decides the game in the negative for the Eagles, but even if he doesn't – if the call doesn't go against them, the Eagles might still lose that game. It's not like at that point
I mean, maybe, but it went against him. So, therefore, they wind up losing the football game.
They're still going to be down 3 points. They're just going to have a chance to come back and score. But even if they come back and score, the likelihood is Patrick Mahomes has a little time left on the clock, and we know how that usually goes.
It's just so ridiculous that they would call that.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is egregious that they would call that in that spot, in that situation, given the fact that he wasn't going – that ball, he wasn't going to – Juju was not catching up to that pass.
Exactly.
Yeah, it didn't affect the
play. He wasn't. No. Tyreek Hill was, Devontae Smith was, Randy Moss is, Hussein
Hill.
Bolton, he would catch up to it. He wasn't catching that pass. That pass was, as they say, uncatchable. But – they wind up calling it, and there was the outcome of the game.
But, you know,
but then again,
I'd be mad if I was an Eagles fan.
Of course,
I'd
be mad. Yeah. Well, by the way, I mean, let's—I don't know how fans feel about it, but I know as a former player, there's a lot that goes into the experience. We always talk about act like you've been in a limo before. Andy Reid, though, making those halftime adjustments, like there was a masterclass in the second half between him and Eric Bieniemy. I mean, the touchdown passes they got to Sky Moore and to Kadarius Toney, those guys were wide open. They were butt naked, Key. It was like, I don't know, they just picked that defense apart in the second half, but the offense came way too easy for Patrick Mahomes.
Well, you see things in the first half, and you go back at halftime, and you say, we're going to get back to this because he was open on this, he was open on that. Let's get back to it when we're in this situation again. Let's run this play. Because in the first half, they run the same type of play. Only that time, they didn't go to the receivers. They went to other positions. And then the second half, they at halftime, he let them know, we're going to do it again, and this time, if he's open, hit him. That's what the adjustments are.
You know, the Super Bowl, when we were kids, was not a good game. It was usually a lopsided game, right? And it was an event, it was a holiday, but it was and at a certain point.
So why am I at work then if it was a holiday?
Well, at a certain well, right. Yeah,
you
but
cover
yes,
the sport.
At a certain point, the Super Bowl got awesome, right? Like, that was another awesome Super Bowl. It was close. It was dramatic. Your heart's going fast at the end. It didn't used to be that way. Most Super Bowls were not like that.
No, I would say the ones that I remember watching, the Giants, the field goal, the Bills.
That's when it started, Key. But before that, if you go before that, usually the Super Bowl going in, you knew there was a big favorite. Like, I did, even the Giants' first one against Elway and the Broncos, going in, it's like, uh-oh, here comes the Giants in that defense. The Bears in 85 against the Patriots.
Yeah.
The Patriots about
Bears
to catch it, right?
I don't even think I finished the first quarter of that one.
Yeah, right. Mm. I mean, this is how – and then at a certain point, right around maybe Super Bowl 20-whatever, 5 or whatever it was, they started getting great. This is a great game yesterday. It's a great game. It was dramatic, close.
Yeah, our Super Bowl was a bit of a blowout, though.
Yeah, well, you were on an all-time great team. Usually, that's not the case where you have a team that dominant, right? It was a great game. It was hard for me to go to sleep after.
I don't know
it was late.
I mean, I hope nobody had any questions about Jalen Hurts because he single-handedly kept this team in the game, man.
He did
what he's been doing all year long.
I know, but yeah,
has.
But this was on the biggest stage.
Yeah,
he played his tail off, and even the way he responded after the fumble by coming back the next possession and scoring that next drive. Like, there's no question about what his dominance is within the NFL
ranks. You see him on a quarterback sneak, it's like you hear Al Pacino in that bad speech in Any Given Sunday. Right? We fight for every inch or whatever it is. Yo, Jalen Hurts on those sneaks, it looks like they got him stopped. Nope, here comes the second, third, fourth effort. His will in the moment of truth is intense.
Dude,
right?
Bench press 600 pounds. Yeah, I mean, it's squat stupid, 600 man. Pounds.
But you could be physically
you ain't
strong.
Nobody
he has
to
a
win with
will
him.
To win. He has a will to win. And that's why he almost won the Super Bowl, like Joe Burrow last year.
You think they're going to stop that key one time, like eventually next year, like the whole rugby style, pile on, fourth and one, like the way they're doing it?
All that's coming. No, the really? Push? Nah.
You don't think so?
Can't, man.
You mean from the league standpoint?
Yes.
No, because I don't think that there's going to be enough general managers and head coaches complaining because they're going to use it too. So yeah, man, I don't think, dude, you know, usually you get the people on the competition committee, they're the ones getting all the complaints from the coaches and general managers about what the rules are, that sort of stuff. But I don't think that'll be the case.
Listen,
all
guys,
he's doing, they're all bunched up and they just push it.
I hear you.
We have a lot to get into today, and that actually is not one of those things. Here's the things we got to get into. What happened to that Eagles defense? Is it as good as advertised? Did the referees cost the Eagles the Super Bowl? What does this game mean for Patrick Mahomes' legacy?
Uh-oh.
Where
How
is
much?
He among the all-time Uh-oh. Greats? And by the way, where does Jalen Hurts now rank in the hierarchy of NFL quarterbacks?
And how much tequila did Jay drink yesterday?
Naturally, that should be the lead. Keyshawn,
what kind
did he drink?
What kind? Yeah, I got yelled at.
888-SAY-ESPN, and we want to hear from you. ESPN Radio.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. Tell you what, I thought the Eagles were going to win handily, and nothing. It's not that I don't believe in Mahomes and Reed and Kelce and these guys. It's that the Eagles were beating the brakes off teams all year, but they were also not a great second half of games team. I just assumed they were up so much they took the foot off the gas. But maybe it was something else because they once again were outplayed.
But it was a good
half.
Game, though, man. It was
real good game.
It was such a good game. It wasn't like it was just a lot. It was like a lopsided game. It was so good. Back and forward.
Yeah.
Tie scores, back and forward, back and forward. It was such a good game.
It was such a good game. In a tradition of great Super Bowls.
I do feel like right before the half, though, if they had called that a catch by Devontae Smith, like the difference between going into the locker room with all that momentum being up 14 as opposed to 10 – and settling for a field goal, it could have been.
Was it a catch, Key?
But see, the difference is, Jay, this is not a regular season game because of the 30-minute, you know, the halftime, however long that whole deal is put together. That momentum that you would have doesn't really matter because you're sitting around now for 30, 35 minutes. Mm-hmm. So it becomes like a moot point at that,
Key,
at that position.
I want to get into the Bradberry thing at the end of the game, but first, was that a catch by Devontae Smith?
You know, in real live action, as soon as it happened, I said, "Oh, he dropped that." The body position and the way his hands kind of dropped down, you could kind of see, "Oh, that ball slipping out." You could see it, and then he rolls over on his shoulder. So at that point, I'm like, "Well, maybe he'll block out the view of the referees, and they won't really get a full view of it," but for some reason they was able to see whatever that it was that made him overturn it.
And I'm like everyone else. What the hell is a catch nowadays? The Goddard thing that wasn't overturned, I thought that was a catch. Then I looked again. The scoop and score when Miles Sanders fumbled, I thought that was clearly a catch. He caught it. He made a move. Then he got hit and it popped out. No, he didn't need to take 15
you
steps
make,
before
you got to make like, about you got to make about three moves.
Come
on,
right? But think about that for a second.
It can't be. It can't be a bang bang. But he can't be a bang bang.
Was there?
He had made a move.
The only way the refs can call that against a catch on DeVonta Smith was there overwhelming evidence that that wasn't a catch?
Like, maybe not. That? Maybe not to us, but to them, maybe it was overwhelming.
Where it was decisive. In other words, it was super close but decisive. And I get it, Key. Yeah. They're not going to call that a catch on Miles Sanders. But to me, I don't know why. To me, that
because
looked like
he didn't get
catch
a chance. He never got a chance to really protect himself. Right, he catches the ball. As soon as he catches it,
he moves, takes a step,
and once it, boom, you got. If he would have took two steps and did something like that, then it's a fumble, scoop and score.
I get what the rules are, but I know what a catch looks like, and that was a catch. But
how
the
hell do you know what a catch looks like?
That's well, just because I can't do it, Keith, that doesn't mean I don't know what it looks like. Listen, was the real big play of the game? Of course, was the Bradberry play. James Bradberry, corner who they acquired from the Giants. The Giants had to let him go because of cap reasons. He goes with Slay and forms one of the better corner tandems in the NFL, right? Had a really good year. And at the end of the game, under 2 minutes left, commits a penalty, which seemed ticky-tack. We discussed this in the first segment, but was called a holding penalty. He was asked after the game about it. This is what he said.
I mean, that's not up for my judgment. You know, I was hoping he would let it go, but of course, you know, he's a ref. It's a big game. And it was a holding, so they called it.
So he admitted to the holding, and people jumped on that, Key. I don't think he was aware how controversial it was at that moment he was asked. I wonder if he was, if he would have said it out loud. But he did. He said it was holding. It seemed like a big moment to call that on Bradberry, and you said in the previous segment it didn't really affect the play.
What happens is all okay. So the way it looks, Jay, is it Juju's faking a shallow cross. He comes out of it. He slows him down from coming out of it. Right. That's not the initial call right there on the back end where he grabs the waist. Mm-hmm. When he tries to pivot out of it right there, that's the hold. But what happens with a guy like Juju is he can't stop on a dime and give change, and he doesn't have sudden quickness in and out of his break. So it looks like, to the referee's eyes, it slowed him down.
That's interesting.
It's almost like a Shaq thing in basketball, LeBron thing in basketball. He's fouled, but it doesn't affect his ability, so they don't call it. In this situation, because of Juju's style,
that's interesting.
They look at it and they go, well, that didn't really. If that would have happened, Juju wouldn't have came out of it and caught up to that pass anyway. So, even if he didn't touch him,
that's what I was going to ask you on the back end. Wasn't that an uncatchable ball?
Absolutely.
So absolutely. Doesn't the ball have to be uncatchable?
Juju
like
wouldn't have caught up to
that. What
Key
is saying is it pays to be sorry sometimes. Is what Key is saying.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying his style is not in and out of the break with sudden quickness.
Like Tyreek Hill. Would
that's
be different.
Tyreek Hill would have came out of that and caught up to that pass. Mm-hmm. Juju, regardless, if they would have let him just run down the field by himself without even touching him, he probably wouldn't have caught up to the pass. The refs aren't looking at it being uncatchable. Because the flag happened
earlier
at the point of attack right there. Right, listen, it didn't happen down the field.
People want to weigh in on this. Let's start, before we get to the calls, with Nick Sirianni, Eagles head coach, on the PI call against James Bradberry. Under 2 minutes left, effectively ended the game.
It's not my job to, you'll see me on the sideline. I'm going to argue with different things of calls here and there, but it's not my job to make the call. You know, those guys got to do that in split second, scenarios. And so, that's what he saw and he called it. And so that's never, I know it always appears to be that, you know, it's one call that makes the, it's not what it is, right? It's not what it is. There's so many plays that contribute to the end result of the game. And today they were better than we were.
The Eagles taking the high road, Bradberry and coach both taking the high road, and maybe they lose that game anyway. But once that call is made, the odds of them winning are close. They need a miracle to win. Was that the right call, Chris, in Los Angeles?
Hey guys, for having me on. Just want to first say love the show. You guys got to lay off my boy Max. I call him the accountant. He be speaking facts, so we just got to give him some props for that.
That's
but
right, we sure do.
On the game, it was a close nip-tuck game, and I don't think you let a call like that kind of sway the odds in that way. Kind of, the Eagles most likely still weren't going to finish the drive and win the game, I think. But I don't think you let the game be dictated in that way with that kind of call.
Right. Anthony in in Orlando.
They're awesome, by the way. I love you guys. But here, check it out. The refs need like that. You know, like in the last 2 minutes, you have the ability to like, you know, for the NFL to review the play. They need that for the officials because this was ticky-tack. That is not how you want to end the game. Everybody was disappointed.
Yeah, I think a lot of people agree with that.
I'm a personal believer of if it's not egregious, then you don't call it. Let the players determine the end of the game. But, like, you know, these are the things that kind of frustrate me sometimes about end-of-game scenarios. That's a ticky-tack kind of penalty. You make that call. Like, I'd rather the players finish it out on their terms.
By the way, another Super Bowl, MVP for Patrick Mahomes. That makes two. In 5 years as a starter to go with two regular season MVPs. They didn't all occur in the same year, by the way, even though these two did. What has this weekend done for Mahomes' legacy?
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained, or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Chiefs are champions of Super Bowl 57.
You're in the Super Bowl. You can worry about getting it healthy in the offseason. So I just kind of fought through and we were able to win the game.
It's the best feeling in the world, man. And I'll tell you what, I don't know how many I got left, but I'm sure going to cherish this one forever.
Everything we worked for is for this moment. You have to enjoy this moment. You can't let the moment overtake you.
I wanted this one more than I ever wanted a game ever in my life.
I mean, if there was any doubters left, there shouldn't be now.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, ESPN 2 till 8 a.m., ESPNU till 10 a.m., SiriusXM Channel 80 and the ESPN app. Click more on the lower right-hand corner of the app. Scroll down to live radio and you can listen to us live wherever you go, and we are presented by Progressive Insurance. Guys, we'll have to see what happens in Trevor Lawrence's career, and I know quarterbacks play defenses and not the other quarterback. However, when you look at Mahomes, who lost Tyreek Hill in the offseason, and Tyreek Hill might have been the offensive player of the year in the NFL, right? Like, he had an incredible season. You look at Mahomes in these playoffs, he went through Trevor Lawrence. Let's see what happens in his career, but it might look very good one day. Joe Burrow, who is, you know, that dude and who had his number until then, was 3-0 against him, including the AFC Championship game at Arrowhead. They were calling it Burrowhead last year. And then Jalen Hurts, who was his rival for MVP this year, on the way to the Super Bowl win, and he did it, yup, on a bad ankle last couple games. He's the third player in NFL, NBA, NHL, or Major League Baseball history to win multiple regular season MVPs and multiple championship round MVPs within their first six seasons. He joins Bobby Orr and Tim Duncan. I just want to mention one thing, though. What happens to that stat when you make it the first five seasons? Because Bobby Orr may not have played as much as he did later on, but he still got minutes and got into games. Tim Duncan was a starter right away. Patrick Mahomes didn't play his first year. He played one game as a rookie. So really, it's not fair to compare 6-6. It's not apples to apples. It's really five. He did it in his first five seasons as a guy who actually played. It's insane. He won the regular season MVP this year. He won the Super Bowl MVP. He led the NFL in passing touchdowns. He led the NFL in passing yards. Only three players have done that in their whole career. Tom Brady, who's the GOAT. Joe Montana, who he replaced on most lists by outlasting him, right? And Peyton Manning, who's the greatest regular season player, arguably, in his prime ever. I mean, what Mahomes did in one season, guys. It's his fifth year as a starter. Anyone have any thoughts about this? Because I'll tell you what I think.
I know if you're going to ask us something. You seem like you are very passionately delivering a good soliloquy here.
I will tell you what I think, and I've said this before. To call someone the Michael Jordan of a sport does not mean merely that they have the best numbers or they lasted the longest and racked up the most championships or led the league in scoring or anything like that. It means you start by looking at them and going, oh, my God, I don't know if I've ever seen something quite like that. Of course, it's based on stuff that came before them, George Gervin and Dr. J and Michael Jordan. But Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre, these guys, this is different. Then you look at the numbers, you go, hold on, this is different. And then you look at team success and you go, he wins more than anyone else.
The numbers and the team success are better than Michael Jordan's first 5 years with the Chicago Bulls. They're better.
Maybe not the numbers, but yeah.
What do you mean, not the numbers?
Here we go.
You're comparing football numbers to basketball numbers.
Here we go. Hey, it's a happy Monday, the day after the Super Bowl.
Championships.
Anyway, Jay.
I'm saying like his first 5 years, the resume is better than Michael Jordan's,
saying
who couldn't get his team to the playoffs.
It's a better resume in his first five seasons than Michael Jordan, because he's gotten two MVPs.
Yes.
He's won two Super Bowls.
Yes.
He's been to three championship games.
Yes, and five
Michael
AFC
Jordan's been to zero.
Yes.
Got it.
It's a better resume.
By numbers.
Definitive.
It's a better resume, Max. Just cave in. It's okay. It's fine.
I think you can
Patrick Mahomes is on his way to being something special. If he would have lost this game, it would be a different conversation the day after Super Bowl on a Monday. But he won the game.
And how did
he win
the game?
So now when you look at Patrick Mahomes' first six seasons as a starting quarterback in the National Football League, he's one above Tom Brady and a couple above Joe Flacco, Russell Wilson, and Ben Roethlisberger. So it's pretty good company there at the quarterback spot. In his first most playoff wins in his first six seasons in the National Football League.
You see,
that's big time.
Key, where I start leaning with Patrick Mahomes now that he's cementing the resume is that he's becoming more and more to me like the greatest quarterback to ever live, right? And the reason why I say that is I'm not a football person like you, Key, but I hear the reality that you bring to the table in discussions around Tom Brady about those first three championships and the style in which Tom Brady was able to get it with Bill Belichick, right, and having that those prolific defenses. So just seeing the way the game has changed to it being a quarterback-driven, quarterback league, throw-heavy league, you're seeing these numbers kind of transcend Patrick Mahomes. That resume is starting to build in that direction.
Well, look, here's what I would say about here's what I would say about that. When you go back and you look in the history books, Tom Brady was great, and he made a couple throws in those first several Super Bowls. Mm-hmm. They didn't win those Super Bowls because of Tom Brady. The Kansas City Chiefs are winning these Super Bowls because of the style of play with Eric Bieniemy, Andy Reid, and Patrick Mahomes. They're winning Super Bowls and getting there because of this. Now, when you look at the Super Bowl statistically in this particular game, he was only 21 of 27 for 182 yards and three touchdowns. Not large statistically, but very efficient. And when you are very efficient and you do the things that he did, like Tom Brady did in the Super Bowl against the Kansas City Chiefs, he had numbers very similar to these. Very efficient. But the defense is the reason that the Bucs won that Super Bowl, even though Tom was efficient and he did his job. The reason that the Chiefs won the Super Bowl over the Eagles is because Patrick Mahomes was efficient, but his defense was not the Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense, as you could clearly see based on them giving up 35 points. And I mean, it's just a different situation.
He had some of those Willis Reed-like plays, right? I mean, coming back off injury, he gets that first down late in the fourth quarter, right? Hobbling out there, beating defense D-line.
But did Willis Reed, when he hobbled out, did he win? Did they win it all?
Yeah.
They did?
He hobbled out against the Lakers, hit two jump shots, and that was it. Clyde Frazier and them did the rest, but Willis Reed was inspirational. Mahomes hobbled out and actually was the best player on the field for them in the second half of the game. But let me say this about Mahomes and Brady and greatness and all this kind of stuff. Tom Brady, when I made the Cliff prediction, what he did from that point on put him over the top and out of reach, right? But when people talk about, oh, is he a compiler? What they mean is not that he's not among the very greatest ever, like LeBron is at scoring. You have to be among, or Hank Aaron was at hitting home runs. You have to be among the best ever for a very, 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 very long time. But that's not quite what we usually are getting at. I won't speak for everyone. For me, I'm talking about what height did you hit and how long did you maintain that absurd level? Because if you take away the end of Brady's career, where he was as good as he ever was practically for another 5 or 6 years longer than anyone had ever been, that's what puts him out of reach. At no point did I feel that he was setting a new standard in any given season that I'd never seen before or was unmatchable or anything like that, even in 07 when he had all those weapons.
Nobody's ever played at the level that Tom Brady played at the age. That was
At the age, never. Right.
So he did set a new standard.
Yes.
The new standard was, let's try to get to 50.
Right.
That's the new standard.
So what we're talking about is longevity. But what I'm saying is, in Brady's first 5 years, he never won an MVP. I don't believe he was ever all pro. He got MVP, finished high up in MVP a couple times. But as Key says, a lot of people recognized he's a very, very good player on a very, very good team. It wasn't as though people were looking at Brady and saying, oh, my God, early on. And so I think there is a difference there between that and a guy who wins a couple of MVPs, who wins a couple of Super Bowl MVPs, who's generally considered Aaron Rodgers plus when people watch him in the first place. Different.
But you know what? Go ahead, Key.
No, I was going to say, but I look at it two ways, man. I can flip it and say Patrick Mahomes has had all the success early on, and Brady had team success early on, and then as he matured,
yeah, he got better.
He got better, and it was all on his shoulders.
Yep.
Where Patrick Mahomes is at a place right now where he may not have reached his peak at all. Where now, all of a sudden, you look up, if Andy Reid is true and he stays the course and wants to continue to keep coaching for however many years, and he's still sharp and doing the things that he's doing as he gets older, this dude may now obviously start to catch on to some stuff and catch some more lightning in the bottle. He may be back here again next year or the year after, where now all of a sudden we're talking about several Super Bowls in a short period of time, and not just two. I mean, fours and fives.
That's the scary thing. You're absolutely right. Brady became a greater player as he went along. It would be scary to think that Mahomes, and we have to wait and see. That's why you can't say, oh, he's the GOAT already. You could just say his trajectory.
Yeah, but just based on him winning this Super Bowl, though, just based on him winning this one.
Yeah, but we got to wait and see still. Will Mahomes get even better than this?
We keep saying names like Michael Jordan and Tom Brady. I'm like, just put respect on Patrick Mahomes' name. Like, that's the name.
That's the name,
with the first 5 years of his career. That's the name we need to put respect on.
Well, I'm not really worried about that right now. I just want to play.
But that's what happens when you play at this level.
I'm saying,
you start getting compared to the
legends. He's running in his own lane right now. Unprecedented.
All right, people want to talk about this. Well, I hope he would run in his own lane. They want to talk about the flag at the end of the game. They want to talk about Mahomes. Meantime, how many more Super Bowls the Chiefs going to win? Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRICEbikes.com.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack your 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th, one-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
The Chiefs are champions of Super Bowl 57.
You're in the Super Bowl. You can worry about getting it healthy in the offseason. So I just kind of fought through, and we were able to win the game.
It's the best feeling in the world, man. And I'll tell you what, I don't know how many I got left, but I'm sure going to cherish this one forever.
Everything we worked for is for this moment. You have to enjoy this moment. You can't let the moment overtake you.
I wanted this one more than I ever wanted a game ever in my life.
I mean, if there was any doubters left, there shouldn't be now.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce and Eric Bieniemy and company just picked up their second Super Bowl in the past 4 seasons. And who knows what happens if that pre-snap penalty doesn't go. You know, we could talk about the penalty against the Eagles, which may have to, it certainly ended the game, but the Eagles may have lost that game anyway. Right? But because the Chiefs would still be up 3 points. They just have more time to score. But then maybe the Chiefs would still have time to score. But the Chiefs have also had calls go against them in this dynastic run, including that pre-snap penalty, and Mahomes never touched the ball. And they didn't change the rules for him like they did for Josh Allen when it happened for Patrick Mahomes.
You still talking about Josh Allen, man?
Well, I mean, they did.
You thought the same thing, don't you?
Josh Allen.
They, like, I don't even want to have that conversation right about now.
They certainly changed it for Josh Allen. Josh Allen didn't get to touch the ball, and everyone was outraged. It was the greatest game, and he should have had another shot at it. What about Mahomes when Brady ended the game on an interception, and they gave the ball back to him, and Mahomes never got to touch it again?
So you're saying it was just for Josh Allen? You're saying it wasn't a combination of Mahomes and Josh Allen?
I'm saying if Mahomes had had the kind of hype that Allen had had building up to that game, then they may have changed it right then.
Right.
Mahomes
That's
happened very
though.
Fast.
That's
Mahomes,
subjective.
Allen
That's...
built up popularity. Mahomes
you just
hit
say,
the ground.
You just
Boom.
Say it like it was like fact when it's not fact. It's
they
just,
didn't change the rule.
Yeah, it's
it
your,
happened to Mahomes.
It's timing.
Rule
it's timing,
now,
though,
girls.
Anyway,
come on now.
We're both
come
pretty.
On.
I know. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. So anyway, people want to talk about this. How many more Super Bowls can this team win? It's hard to even win a single Super Bowl in your whole career. But when you're this good, remember, a lot of people were like, I don't know if they're going to make the playoffs. I don't know if they're going to win a
playoff
game. A lot
of people, all in that one person.
No,
I mean, a lot of people.
No,
that?
No. People
Bart saying, Scott.
Bart Scott.
Oh,
Scott
that's one person.
It, but the
one
division,
person.
The division was considered very competitive.
Oh, God, I told you from
started.
Day one that
How's
division wasn't like that,
now?
Though, Max.
How's dominated, that division looking now,
Dominated
Keith?
By the Chiefs.
I mean, a division is three teams I'm having my eyes on.
Denver.
Which the Chargers, Denver,
the
and Kansas City. Yeah.
Kansas City.
Raiders.
Yeah. Raiders.
Yeah.
Everyone
whatever,
but the Raiders.
Yeah.
All right. 888-SAY-ESPN.
Yeah, Bart Scott, where are you?
But you didn't think they were going to win the Super Bowl this year, did you, Keith?
I'm trying to think. Did I pick them? I picked them, then I switched. When Buffalo, when everything started happening to Buffalo, I picked Buffalo to get to the end of January. But I think I had the Cowboys or the Saints winning the Super
Bowl. You had the Saints at the beginning.
No, I had the Saints, so they started falling
and
apart.
Then, started, yeah.
then
right,
I jumped
look.
On the Cowboys. Then I did the J and bandwagon over to the Eagles.
There you go.
And then I picked the Eagles for the Super Bowl. That didn't work out so much. But now I'm back on Patrick Mahomes.
The Chiefs are like the Patriots or the Spurs or one of these dominant dynastic teams with all the pieces in place and the most important people. Where every year you want to sound smart, pick them. And the even if they don't get there, they're going to almost get there.
I could do like you, pick them, then switch and tell everybody I didn't.
Scott in I don't know who you is referring to, but they ain't me. Scott in Pennsylvania. You're on with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Good morning, gentlemen. I love the show. And I'm just I like that the Eagles didn't win the Super Bowl because I'm a Cowboys fan. But, however, these horrible calls in these big games, I'm just starting to get sick of it with the NFL and the referees. Don't know what's going on there. They're ruining some very good games.
I agree. I thought it was ticky-tack. I mean, it was the right call, man, technically, but ticky-tack.
Can I just defend the refs for a second? I mean, I wish that fans would actually try to take a class and make these in-game decisions on the fly. Like, I know that we have 9,000 cameras and that we'll come back and we'll review every single call. And then we want to always talk about the one call that refs didn't get right. Nobody wants to praise the refs for all the calls they got right. You just kill them for the one they got wrong. And now all of a sudden we have a ref problem. Like, I see it in the NBA and in the NFL. Like, it's just, come on, man.
Keith,
come on.
There was, and I'm going to bring up something I know Key
will love. It's always some kind of excuse.
An evolutionary biologist, because I know, Key, this is just for you. So there's a guy named Stephen Jay Gould who passed away maybe 20 years ago.
Yeah, Jay, I know him.
And what do I relate everything to? The New York Yankees, of course. Don Larsen had pitched a perfect game in the World Series, but the last pitch of the game was a called strike three. And it was clearly, I believe, low in a way, but it was clearly not a strike. But close enough to the strike zone that the hitter should have swung, right? Too close a pitch to take if you're the hitter under those circumstances. And Stephen Jay Gould wrote a whole article about how is truth spot or circumstance? And this is a controversial subject. Some people will tell you, man, it doesn't matter what the circumstance is, call it straight up and down. And other people will tell you, have a sense of the circumstance, right? That was one of those calls. Technically, it was PI. But do you call it in that circumstance, right?
No, it was holding, no. Not PI. And you don't call it in that
holding,
circumstance.
Sorry, holding.
You got to also, pardon me. You also got to understand the player on the offensive side of the ball that it was called for.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe that Bradbury's grab and tug impeded Juju from going and getting the football. That's just me.
Didn't affect the play.
I don't think it affected it at all, yeah, to be honest with you.
I agree.
I just don't. And having played that position, I just don't. I mean, I really don't. But referees see something different. And they don't really – the referee doesn't understand that Juju's sudden quickness in and out of the break is going to be what it's going to be regardless. Now, if that was Tyreek Hill, it would have probably slowed Tyreek Hill down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because he's a stop-and-start guy. Juju's not a stop-and-start guy. He can't start his motor right back up like that, where Tyreek Hill can, or MVS can, or Miko Hartman can. If it was one of those guys, then I would be like, yeah, it stopped him from getting to that ball.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. So was it a bad call? I don't know that it decided – well, put it this way. It ended the game effectively. But the Chiefs still might have won that game. In fact, I'd have put them at better than 50-50 to win, even if that call doesn't go for them and against the Eagles. They probably win, but not – the game wasn't over, certainly. That's one. Two, what about Mahomes' legacy? What does it do for him? Here's the other big thing out of last night. What did Jalen Hurts prove? Where is he in the hierarchy of quarterbacks in the NFL right now? People want to weigh in on all this stuff. 888-SAY-ESPN. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, we are presented by Progressive Insurance. What did Jalen Hurts prove last night? We're about to get into it on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.